Hi, friends. How are we doing? Good? Good? All right. Well, good. I'm glad you're here. It's Thanksgiving week. Turkey. Lions are going to lose, probably. I'll take it back. Say a prayer. Gonna need more than one. All right. Let's take this opportunity. We'll dismiss our kids to Revolution Kids Church. I'm from Michigan, I know better. So anyway, we are in this teaching series, 2020 Vision. We're talking about, hey, what do the next 18 to 24 months look like here at Revolution? We have been looking at a passage of Scripture out of the book of Acts, chapter 2. Luke wrote the book of Acts, and let's go ahead and refamiliarize ourselves with that this morning. It's Acts 2:42 to 47, and we'll read it together with some chutzpah. Here we go. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Awesome. As I said, the very first week of this teaching series, for a while, the early church was the best-kept secret in town, and then the word started getting out, and I think the same is true for our community here. And so we're working out this 2020 vision, trying to have some crystal-clear clarity. That's a little alliteration for you this morning. You're welcome. That was for free. About who we are called to be. Where is God leading us, and what are we called to do? And we've learned so far that process leads to power. The early church had some core processes that they were engaged in, and as they engaged in those, each of those processes, whatever they are, God's power came upon them. And that's what we want to do, is experience the power of God in a dramatic way. And the first of those processes was apostolic teaching. The early church devoted themselves to learning what is the way of Jesus. And we said here at Revolution, we do that on three different levels. The first level you're experiencing right now happens through the front door of the church, which is worship. And we said involving other people and inviting other people through that front door is an important thing that we're all called to do. The second layer to that is being a part of a renovation group, experiencing study and community with other people to encourage and support you in your journey is important. And then finally, the third level is being part of a renovation band, a 4 to 6 person all-male or all-female groups, so we can help keep one another on track. How's it going? How's your relationship with God? What are you keeping secret? How are you struggling? How can I pray for you? And those groups should meet about every 30 days. And so out of that, we had some audacious goals. We said we wanted to grow to 500 people by 2020, to connect 85% of our community to a renovation group, and to get everybody into a 30-day renovation band. Now, last week, we talked about the four groups of people here at Revolution: seekers, believers, followers, and leaders. And what we said is ultimately we're looking for you to go one step further in your journey. If you're a seeker, become a believer. If you're a believer, become a follower. If you're a follower, become a leader. Maybe you're saying, well, I'm already leading. Where do you want me to go next? There's always an opportunity to go deeper. You know, we like to say here at Revolution that God loves us the way that we are, but too much to leave us the way that we were. And so there's always a sense in which Jesus is leading us somewhere. There's always an opportunity to go deeper, whether it's with different spiritual formation practices or leading a ministry or serving in an area that maybe you haven't served before, being more generous, whatever it is, God can lead us further down the path of our relationship with Him. And why is that important? Well, it's important because when God works, God always works through people. He works through us. The miraculous things happening in the early church are happening through the people. And God wants to use each one of us to change somebody's life and to change the world. And that's what we're after. And so the goal here is to ignite spirit-filled spiritual vitality among existing leaders and developing new leaders and helping everybody move forward one step in their own spiritual growth. And what we've realized through all this is that our lives, they don't get better by chance. They get better by change. Change is required. And as we live into this vision, some change is necessary. Change individually, change corporately, and that's what we're after. Look at our scripture today. It says this, and all who believe were together and had what? All things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Blue words are process words. Red words are power words. And you notice there's something about believers being together and having all things in common that leads to more of God's power. The early church was united. Unity is a big thing. Why does it matter that the church be united? Well, look at what Scripture says. Psalm 133, how good and pleasant it is when brothers and sisters dwell in unity. It is like the precious oil on the head running down on the beard of Aaron running down on the collar of his robes. How many are ready for a Crisco bath today? So well, you're like, I don't want any oil on my head. What are you talking about? What is this all about? Well, in the ancient world, one of the most powerful examples of God's presence amongst a people was anointing. An anointing happened with oil. You would literally dump oil on the head of the other people and rub it in, and it would leave this fragrance and the skin refreshed and smooth. And so as we dwell together with God in unity, that's what follows. That's the power that follows, is a refreshed community, united, filled with God's power and God's presence. And look at what Paul says about this. He says, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Look at this. What would the church look like if we were really able to bear with one another in love? Wow. But yet we might think differently about some things. Some of our values, they may be a little bit different. But in the end, what unites us together is that we all love Jesus. And because we love Jesus, I can love you. There was like a great commandment about something like that Jesus taught about loving God. And as we learn to love God, we're able to love our neighbor. And as we do this, as we experience unity, there's power in that. There's power in that. You know, a united church with a united vision maximizes the potential to make disciples and change the world. And that's our business. That's what we do. We're called to make disciples and change the world. All the other stuff, great. We're called to make disciples and change the world. And as we're all moving on one path together, not fighting against each other, not fighting against God, not fighting about this or that or the other thing, man, I bet God's power shows up in a big way. Happened in the early church, it can happen here, yes? Absolutely it can. Now I want you to notice what else happens as this church is united. It says, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. There's a spirit of generosity in the early church. Radical generosity. Well, so does this mean like, you know, some people have been asking me lately from one of our renovation studies, so this passage, is this like really a thing for socialism? No, it is not, right? This is about me becoming the best version of me that God is calling me to be and sharing generously because God has provided abundantly. That's what it's about. We call it a redistributive wealth if you want to use economic terms, but being generous. And notice where it's happening. It says it's happening day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes. So there's something about the early church being generous, not only at the temple, because this was a Jewish movement, right? It didn't start off like, okay, we're tracking. And then And then there's also something about being generous in their local community. And it's amazing, as this relates to our culture today, it's easier, I think, and I could be wrong, let's talk afterward, it's easier for people to be more generous in their local community because they attach on or latch on to a cause, right? GoFundMe, brilliant at doing this. You see a cause, Facebook video, puppies and cats, red balloons, and you're like, oh, I want to do that, right? In the arms of, and all that starts queuing up, and we're like, I got to do this, man. So causes, local community, awesome. But then if I were to say, hey, support your local church, and this week it's going to buy Kleenex and toilet paper and copy paper and keep the lights on, you're like, wow, where do I sign up? But the early church had a spirit of generosity about both, what's happening in the temple and in the local community. And people, and I know we love our special causes, but boy, there's a great cause that's happening right here. And I realize that lights aren't exciting, but I'm going to show you why they should be. Toilet paper is great. Let's just say that. In our early service, somebody pointed out the very same thing, that without it, it's just not good. Let's just go there. Let's just go there. So I have an audacious goal. Audacious goal. Hang in there. Here's what it is. How about we unite together and grow our generosity? How about we unite together and grow our generosity together? Okay, but why? Because your generosity, it changes people's lives every day. You know, this week, meeting with some folks, hearing about what God has been doing in their lives through this community because of a renovation group leader. Hearing what God has been doing in this community because of a staff member who invested in them. I mean, it happens every day. I want you to realize your generosity this morning is enabling a pastor to preach the gospel to a people in the Dominican Republic whose church is literally built on a trash dump. That's no lie. Literally at a trash dump, a pastor, Raphael, you'll see him in the picture up above, just next to your generosity changes lives. We support him. And he's the pastor of a church down in the hole. Literally a trash dump in the Dominican Republic. Next to him is Juan and Heather Casadevalle and Little Cruz. And who doesn't just love Little Cruz? Your generosity enables Juan and Heather to take the gospel and economic development. They've been giving people jobs in third world countries by creating microeconomies. The coffee that you drink in our church is part of that project. It gives people jobs. When you can give people a job and they're able to earn a sustainable wage, it gives them a sense of purpose. When they can provide for their families, this is one of the most Christian things you can do, is employ somebody. And your generosity gives to Juan and Heather because they're missionaries. And in fact, we added to their support this year as part of the 2019 calendar year, because what they're doing and the work they're doing is awesome. Your generosity enables that to happen. Your generosity created a partnership with Fourth Avenue, where people are fed, where the Salon Project is changing lives. Your generosity enables ministry to happen at Family Scholar House, where this summer we had this awesome event with big, huge water slides, and the kids ran up and down it like 100 times. My legs would have hurt for 3 weeks if I tried to go up and down it as many times as they did. And part of the project was about literacy. You're like, well, it's just reading. Why is that important? Well, here's why it's important. If you can't read by second grade, you have a very high likelihood of ending up in prison. So one of the greatest things that you can do is teach a child to read. And your generosity provided books to Family Scholar House, who runs a ministry so women can receive a college education and have a sustainable life for them and their families. Your generosity enabled that. Your generosity is allowing the Bursics, they're down in the right-hand corner of your screen. The Bursics are planting churches in Germany, and we're going to fund them. And I don't know if you know much about the landscape in Germany, probably one of the most atheistic countries that's out there. And so they literally go to, Germany's a beautiful place, but when it comes to the gospel, kind of the gates of hell, and there they're sharing the word of God, and they're inviting other people into community and letting them experience the grace of God in Jesus Christ. Why? Because you've been generous. So thank you. Thank you. We have a video I want to show you here in just a moment about how your generosity has brought someone on the journey and the way it's changed their lives. Let's go ahead and roll it now.
Hi, everybody. My name is Bob Schuelder, and this is my wife, Janet.
We'd like to share the testimony of our journey from seeker to leader.
Our story begins in St. Charles, Illinois, a quiet suburb of Chicago. We had a nice life there, but we were just kind of cruising along. We both felt that there was something missing. We had no purpose and no direction.
We tried off and on to find a church because we both believed in God, but we were never churchgoers. None of the churches we visited felt like we thought church should, so we just gave up.
Beginning what we thought would be a 2-year search for a retirement destination, we made our first trip to Louisville. We picked a realtor online, but since we weren't ready to buy, she handed us off to her protege, Revolution's own Karen Garner. We fell in love with Louisville and we moved here 3 months later. Karen had told us about Revolution, but she didn't push too hard. When we needed some construction work done at the house, Karen recommended Eric Hall, who'd been a trustee of Revolution.
He and I talked at length about Revolution. He convinced me, and I convinced Bob, that we should give church one more try.
Our first visit here was a short one. It was the Sunday after the time change, and we forgot to change our clocks. Even though we showed up with about 15 minutes left in the second service, we got a judgment-free greeting from Trish Prittman, who ushered us to our seats. Dara was doing the teaching that day, and even that small taste was enough for us to come back for a second look. The next week was Brian, and we thought we were starting to find a home. Everyone here was so welcoming and so friendly, and that was cool. It was also a little scary. People would come up to us and say, "Hey, you're Karen's people from Chicago. How would they even know that?" The first teaching series that we went through here was called Losing My Religion. That was perfect. It spoke to us. And whether Brian or Daryl was doing the teaching, we felt that they spoke to us and not at us. And sometimes the teachings hit so close to home, we thought they were just for us.
I remember Bob sending Brian an email saying, "You've made such a difference in our life, and no one could be more surprised than I am."
So now we were in. We started volunteering and getting a little more involved. Next was joining a renovation group. And at first, we were afraid it would be too much too soon. We were really liking church, and we didn't want to overdo it. And finally, we decided that we weren't going to do it. We were going to wait. And the next day, we got an email welcoming us to our new renovation group. I didn't do it, he said. So we thought it was God's way of saying, "Nope, wrong choice. I'd really like you to give this a chance." We're so glad we did. We've made such great friends in our group, and with their help, we've grown so much in our faith.
A big step for me came when I volunteered to be part of a Louisville mission trip that Janice Miller Smith organized. This was a week-long event held at 4th Avenue where we painted the basement area of the church. I was paired with Connie Gower, and we quickly became good friends. Connie really helped me begin to grow my faith outside of the church by inviting me to various Christian gatherings like the Women of Faith Conference at the Yum Center or even Christian concerts at the State Fair. In the beginning, I remembered thinking, "What have I gotten myself into?" But now I realize that God put Connie in my path to help me learn to grow. Next, Drusilla Ventner offered to take me to lunch so we could get to know each other. And this has grown into 3.5 years of monthly lunches with a dozen retired church ladies sharing fellowship and prayers. These lunches introduced me to Regina Ruig. We've become very close friends with Regina and her husband, Rolf. They've been incredible mentors, helping us answer our many questions and guiding us on our faith walk. All of these people have shown us the discipleship that Jesus wants us to share.
My path was a little different. Since my high score on my spiritual gift test was administration, I became a trustee, and along with Janet and one of the guest services leaders. Now, somewhere along the line, we began to change, and I think other people saw it in us before we did ourselves. Speaking for myself, I became more aware of how much things I did affected others, and it became important to me that that effect was positive. Especially at work, people see me as a man of faith, someone they can come to with questions or problems, or if they just need some encouragement. And more, I began to feel the nudge, both from inside me and from those around me, towards some form of ministry. Brian and I have been working together to try to identify my gifts and figure out a way for me to use them to help other people. I'd like to find a way to reach out to the wanna believers like we used to be and help them find the peace that we've found. Of course, I've been praying about it, and I will continue to until it's time for him to answer me.
I've grown in a different way. My spiritual gifts were all about serving and giving. I volunteer once a week at a local food pantry, and while you're watching this video, I'll be serving on my second prison ministry. In March, I'll be one of the table leaders on the Women's Emmaus Walk. Again, what started as doubt has turned to reaching out to share Christ with others. And isn't that what we're all called to do?
Brian and Matt have been talking about the transition from seeker to leader, and we've been on this walk for about 3.5 years, and we've come so far, no doubt, but we both feel that there's so much farther we can go. And if you want to go with, just open your heart and let him in. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Be the revolution.
Powerful story. Many thanks to Jan and Bob for having the courage to share, and Matt for doing such a good job at putting that together. But these kind of stories, they're all over this community. And it's because of your generosity. And I want to talk about that for just a bit here. You know, we've talked a bit this teaching series about nudging forward just a little bit to grow, to change just a bit. And that's what we're looking for when it comes to your generosity. 1% more, a step forward. If you're not giving, to do something. Maybe something like a $5 a week recurring gift. Or if you do give regularly, thank you. And can you move it forward by a percent? If you're a 10% kind of a person, how about a gift to a long-term building fund? 2018 has been a strange year for the church. And we find ourselves now heading into mid-November. We're a little behind in our finances. Our gross revenue's down by about $25,000. Now, the good news about that is we've cut some costs to help. And the other good news is that the year's not over yet. We've got 6 weeks left, and I believe that the way that our community has and always been generous, we can make that up quite a bit. Now, this $5 a week thing, I know some of you have heard me talk about this, and here's why it matters. Right now, we have about 130 giving units here at church. So sometime during the year, 130 families, 130 people are going to give at some point. They're probably going to give 2, 3, 5, could be every week. I want you to think about the power of a $5 gift a week. If we had 130 giving units, and next year you're going to be making one disciple, right? Everybody here in the community is going to make one disciple. So we're going to add some giving units. We'll say 25 giving units to be conservative. If everybody in those 155 giving units gave just $5 a week more, look at the impact it would have on our budget. 40 grand. Our budget would grow 8%. Can you imagine what we might be able to do with $40,000 more in our budget? The kind of people we might be able to help, the sort of ministries that we might be able to generate. Now let's take it to the 1% goal that I've lifted up this morning. Let's say that on average, a family here at Revolution grosses $60,000 a year. I realize you might be a little below that. Some of you might be a little bit above that. Which would make your net income, and I do come from the accounting industry, so my tax number isn't half bad anyway, make your net income about $3,300 a month. If 155 giving units gave 1% more, that would yield about $62,000 a year. Imagine what we might be able to do with $62,000 more in our budget. You know, the interesting thing is nowadays we go from Black Friday to Cyber Monday to Giving Tuesday. And so Giving Tuesday, does your church fit into that scheme for you? There's a lot of great opportunities to give. If we're unified, I think anything is possible. Now, I imagine right now some of you are thinking, yeah, well, you know what? I'm not giving. You don't know my budget or my hardships or any of that. Some people have money, and they need to be the ones to do it because I'm tapped out, and I get it. You're completely right. I don't know where you sit. I don't know what your finances look like. But I do know there was a French engineer named Maximilian Ringelmann, and I know all of you have read Maximilian Ringelmann's work, right? Completely. Earlier this morning you did. So Ringelmann, here's the cool thing about what Ringelmann said. He did a series of studies about the way that systems work. And to do his research, he had teams play tug-of-war against another, you know, like the most archaic game there ever was. You get people at the end of a rope and you figure out who can pull it harder. Well, here's what Ringelmann figured out. When he put four people on a rope, he got the highest degree of exertion from those four people. And as he added people to the rope, when it became six people, each person, their level of exertion decreased. When he put eight people on the rope pulling against one another, he found that eight people actually pulled less than four people would. Why? Because the assumption is somebody else is going to do the work, therefore, I don't need to work as hard. It's somebody else's problem. So I'm going to check out. And the deal is, whether it's the early church or the church today, everybody, their generosity matters. And we don't make it without everybody being united. We have lots of demands for ministry. That's what part of this is about. But the other audacious thing I want to put before you is this. People have been wondering, Brian, you've been talking about this thing that's coming. What is it? Are you going to leave? I'm not going to leave. So let's stop that rumor mill from going around. The audacious goal is we need to move locations. In the next 3 to 4 years, we need to move locations. Well, where are we going? I don't know. I don't know. I mean, it'll be somewhere around this area. You know, we think this is the right window for our church to exist. But the next 3 to 4 years, as our community size increases, as the needs for ministry increase, we're going to need to relocate our facilities. And brothers and sisters, that's a great thing. That's a great thing. I want you to imagine what it would look like with a 500-seat sanctuary that's filled. That's filled. I want you to imagine a children's wing of our community that's filled with space for kids, that's interactive, and it meets their needs on both the auditory or visual or kinesthetic learning map. Kids learning about Christ in a way that fits their learning style. Imagine what that would look like. And they say to their friends, hey, you got to check out my church. It's a great place. Another segment of our population that's going to grow in the next 3 to 4 years is our youth. Our kids are getting older. My daughter is 10 now. How did that happen? I went to my last daddy-daughter dance a week ago. I may or may not have cried as we danced together. But the point is she is kind of the front edge of what's coming with the youth. And as our youth population increases, we have a chance to reach more youth. And as we reach more youth, would it not be great to have the kind of facilities that support that? And what would it look like, brothers and sisters, if we had a great space for gathering and to have coffee with one another, but also a sacred space? So when you came into the sanctuary, it was quiet and you could pray and reflect and ready yourself for worship. We don't exactly have that now. Now, we've made do and we've made great use of these facilities as they exist, but as we continue to mature and grow as a community, there's an opportunity for us to grow our facilities. And I have grossly underestimated the importance that facilities play in the life of a church. Because the kind of things that I hear is one of the obstacles to our growth is our facility. There's not much signage. And we do a great job, our parking team, at putting flags out every Sunday so people know that we're here. But during the week, we have a sign that's about that big on our building. And that's part of our building code. That's just the way that it is. And so I hear things like, too hard to find. Looks like not enough is going on there. It's a little too homegrown. And you might think, well, come on. I mean, why are you really going to church? Is it really about the facility? No, it's not about the facility, and we know that. But do we want to reach the next generation or not? And so you can either continue to try to change the dominant mindset, or you can meet them where they're at and have something that's attractive for people to come to and for people to engage in. And as they learn about the kingdom of God, as they grow into their faith, as they take the next step from seeker to believer and realize it's something more, then great. We've accomplished our purpose. You know, I want to thank you in the end for your generosity because it changes lives every day. And I realize when we do the quote-unquote money talk, it's probably not your favorite day on a Sunday morning. My goal here isn't to try to guilt you to give. It's to remind you that you're generous, to thank you for that generosity, and to see if we can continue to press it forward. Because I think there are lots of Jan and Bob stories here, and I think there's lots of Jan and Bob stories in our local community with people who are just waiting to be reached. And as we do that, and as we have the kind of place to meet, as we have the kind of community to invest in missions and ministry, I believe we're going to have more and more Bob and Jan stories to go around. And so for all the church does and for all you do for it, I'm simply asking you to continue to be generous because you already are. We can overcome the small deficit that we have. We can take care of the kids at Family Scholar House for our Advent Conspiracy offering. We're at $1,895 of $4,500 that we've pledged to set aside. So we got to continue to make a dent in that. And there's 12 days left. We can reach more people on the streets through the Heat Ministry. We want to do a great thing for $3 or $6. Bring some cans of cooking fuel propane. Drop them in the back warehouse next week. It's getting cold out there, and Vance and his team, they could use more cans of propane. But I believe that we can do this. I believe that we can hit that next level. And the reason is, everything that we need, God has put in this community to provide. So thanks for your generosity. Thanks for giving, and thanks for being the revolution. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you. And the grace that you have given us, the way that it changes our lives, the way that we're transformed by those acts of grace, by your acts of goodness and generosity for each one of us. The breath in our lungs, the gift of forgiveness and eternal life. And we thank you for the way that you're blessing the ministries of this church and the generosity of its people. Whether it's in the Dominican Republic or Germany or here in the local community, downtown at Family Scholar House or 4th Avenue, or the homes of our renovation groups, the wonderful stories like Jan and Bob, who we got to hear today. God, we thank you for what you're doing. And we pray for you to help us and strengthen us in the processes that you have set forth here in the book of Acts. And God, as we engage in those, we pray for an abundant harvest of your power, that we would know you, that we would see the work of your hands. God, that we would celebrate and offer you our worship for what you're doing. God, may we know your power, your presence, and your grace. We ask it in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Nice catch. I love it. You are not going to want to miss next week. We're going to be talking about all of the cool updates to missions and the serving opportunities here at Revolution. If you are traveling, we pray that you will be safe as you travel. And if not, we look forward to seeing you next Sunday. Have a great week. Thanks for your generosity. Be the Revolution.